produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good evening, Saints. Trust Le Shapo, that the Mudim Intelimutim, Ha Afeto, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the song that says, I love the Lord. It was in the background. I love the Lord, for he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. And I'm reminded of what happens when Nehemiah tried to build the walls. Praise you, Jesus. We know Horoko chapter 1, he was so frustrated. Chapter 2, we can see, we can read a lot about what is happening. Praise you, Jesus. But I just want us to go to chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. Hallelujah. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, bent as they are? You know, they started mocking Nehemiah. So the other version says, when Sanballat hit that, they were indignated. Praise you, Jesus. That we are rebuilding the walls, they were full of indignation. Praise you, Jesus. I beg my pardon. So they were full of indignation. So I want to say to you, sometimes when you relax in your spiritual journey, you relax because you think you can pray to Jesus, you can declare, you can decree, you can uproot, you can invite the power of the Holy Spirit, but you are not consistent actually in what you are doing. Remember, there are people who are filled with anger. You know, there is that indignation. Hallelujah. They become angry. They are greatly incensed when they hear that there is progress in your life, when they hear that you are no longer crying, you are no longer complaining, you are no longer asking for prayers. You are now relying on the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you will offend many. You'll offend a lot of people because people like it when you are wounded, when you come to them with wounds, you know, and they just rejoice. At the time, they might appear as if they are supporting you, but some of the people, they rejoice about the situation. They can share issues that are so important, and they can share issues that are of secrecy and share them to other people because they just love you coming to them. But I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah didn't allow himself to be entangled in the issues of human spirits, but he relied on the Holy Spirit because he knew that the Holy Spirit will propel me from the beginning of the project to the completion of this project. Praise you, Jesus. What are you building? Is it what your neighbor is building, or are you building what the Lord said you must build? Sometimes we build what the Lord didn't say you must build because we are so scared of lagging behind. I want to challenge you today. May you build what the Lord has mandated you to build. Do it. Build the temple. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, there will be ancient men that are weeping. There will be the Tobias. There will be the Sanballats. that are troubled by what you are doing, but I want you to continue doing what the Lord has called you to do. I want you to build, knowing that the Holy Spirit is there by your side. I want you to build and declare and begin to sanctify, or rather fortify your building, hallelujah, with the blood of Jesus. Fortify that building with the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. I'm asking you, no, bateng, people that will be indignated, people that will be greatly troubled and angered, because when you are choosing to build, when situations they are saying to you, stop building, situations say, stop saving, stop giving, stop doing this, stop praying, but when you build your own structure, because it's the structure that is dedicated to God, and anything that you do in your life, learn to bargain with God. You know, when you fast and the Lord stretches you to certain hours, number of hours, do not complain. You rather have a conversation and say, God, okay, Papa, since un stretcher to these hours, what are you expecting out to these days? What are you willing to do? ABCD. Bible, come, let's reason together. It doesn't say the enemy says, come, let's reason together. That's why Jesus never entertained the enemy when he was just trying to say to him, turn these stones into bread. So I want you to reason with God. Hallelujah, reason with God in that which you want to do for him. Okay, now I'm employed in your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. It's all about you. So, Daddy, ke go kopa right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Pela un stretch 2 hours. Hey, Papa, beyond this point. Yo, I'm trading my spirit for my flesh. Hallelujah. So I refuse to be controlled by the flesh. I want to be controlled by you, ntate wa ka. Ntate Modimo tlo gutla. So ke re ko wena, aga, motho mo le mo bitsitswe. Modimo re bitsitse ka ofela. It's a calling. We call it purpose. You need to live your purpose. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time looking at what other people are doing. I think Sanballat and Tobiah, they were supposed to focus on their main mandate, this big project that God has assigned them to do. But because they were so foolish that they didn't think, Khorbona, even when we mock him, even when we do whatever, he's not stopping. They were supposed to take those lessons from Nehemiah and begin to build the temple of the Lord. Praise Jesus. They were supposed to do that. Hallelujah. So I don't know, in your spiritual life or spiritual journey, what has made you so discouraged? What has caused you to be so discouraged? You cannot afford to be discouraged by human beings. Hallelujah. Let me read to you what were these people saying, because last time I couldn't even quote every word, but I want to quote every word. They said, and in the presence of his associates, they ridiculed the Jews. Imagine, people will ridicule you. Uzamaweta, sibuya la posonke, uzuyazin, uzostola la. Maybe in a workplace, bari, eh, mbona, man, bona, utlokala, utlochencha, jintumum sebeti, uritotimo, and utlarisiamo. You know, those are the things that happen in the kingdom of God, when people don't really hear what the Lord is saying. Praise Jesus. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Imagine, Jews. Wait, I'm reminded of Gideon when Gideon was saying, I'm just from the weakest clan of Manasseh. Wait, you are the weakest, and the enemy comes and starts to charge you. Because Luan also it's Ibo Romang, you know. Nehemiah wasn't moved. He knew who he was. That's why he wasn't challenged. Even when they say, what is he doing? Hallelujah. What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Nakere Modimo utlo go thusa. If the question says here, but will they finish in a day? God is going to help you finish what your ancestors, what your forefathers couldn't finish. Modimo tlo go thusa. You are going to finish it in the mighty name of Jesus. So do not be discouraged, because the Lord has called you for a purpose. And don't you ever stop. It doesn't matter what is happening. Can they bring the stones back up for life? Let me say this. Hold on. Pray every day.
if people are stirred up with anger because when you are progressing, when you are building, the building is not as yet complete, but they were troubled. It means there is a big thing coming through for you. And I want you not to stop praying. I want you not to stop worshiping God. Do not stop. Do not stop. Do not stop. I plead with you, child of God. Do not stop. Let God work in you a great thing that He has predestined and predetermined before the beginning of time. Praise you, Jesus. So these foolish people were not thinking, but they were saying, oh, verse 3, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall
of stones.
Sure.
What you are building, the quality is not enough. We tell them the business never succeeded, because I know someone who's doing this business, and this is a mega business. The quality of the business. Will you finish in a day? That your project is not what other people are doing. You have decided to seek the face of God, and God has given you your own assignment. So I want us to be challenged and say, nakore pelang ko yona ke gore modimo ha atla. When the bridegroom comes, he must find us really ready. Make sure that you complete what the Lord has assigned you to do. Finish, mwana modimo, finish. Do not do the half. Do not compromise. Ori wena waitsikeng ntate modimo ema ganyane nna bathong ke khate ska khathale, because when you get tired, your enemies letsona, They will rejoice. Don't allow the Tobias and the Sanballats in your life to rejoice. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you. And I know that the Lord is with you. And I know that the Lord will carry you. And I know that the hand of the Lord is upon you. And I also know that the presence of the Lord is heavily in your room. God wants you to open your mouth and say, Papa kopon tswarele, for stopping this and that. I stopped building. Nehemiah had one hand was used to build, the other one was used to fight. Luena, you can go to God and say, Lord, I'm rising up. I'm going to fight in prayer and I'm going to work. Praise you, Jesus. There's no reason for us not to work for God. God wants us to serve. No matter, you need to serve the Lord, because He's the one who has employed you. He's the one who's going to pay you. Praise you, Jesus. So I'm just blessing you, children of God. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's not easy. But so long as you drive your car, it's your mandate. Your car, it's your assignment. Your car, it's what God has called you for, your purpose. Just drive that car. Just drive that car. Drive, drive, drive. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It's sweeter than the day before. Today, it's just Friday. People are excited, and you say, but when am I going to laugh? When am I going to be excited? Forget about that, because the Lord is behind the steering wheel. You are going somewhere. You are going somewhere. You are going somewhere. You will never experience a Titanic. Praise you, Jesus. A Titanic will happen if you don't pray, because people will see the glory and the gifts, but people don't know good to when you are ill-disciplined. You are inconsistent. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't do what the Lord is calling you. So I want to encourage you today. Do it, do it, do it, and the Lord will do you good. Praise you, Jesus. I love you and appreciate you. Stay blessed. Good evening, saints. Trust you are well. Hey, hey, Nehemiahs of today, praise you, Jesus. Are you still fighting? Are you still using that right hand, that left hand? Are you still praying? Are you still working? Hallelujah. And I love the fact that Nehemiah worked. He was working. If you underline the word work, it has to do with an activity. There are activities that just are a futile exercise, because I didn't have the results. But Nehemiah finally completed the wall. And God is saying, that is your destiny. I want you to complete the work that I've done in you. Hallelujah. I know that there'll be circumstances around you. There'll be the Tobias and the Sanballats, but you need them, because you can't just understand the seasons if you are not going to be pushed by evil. Praise you, Jesus. So that's why the word says all things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and those that are called in accordance to His purpose. You do need negativity. You need it. Hallelujah. It's an equation. You need mockers. You need people that will criticize you. You need people that will judge you. You need people that will pull you down. You need them. If somebody says, what gospel is this? I'm telling you, you need them. Every biblical hero surmounted to challenges only because there was the Spirit of the Lord inside of them that was saying, you can conquer this. God is still saying that you can conquer this challenge. Bona, kuna situation where God says, now I want you to sit back. Kiboni, the activities you have tried, you have done this. Now I will move out like a mighty man of war. You know, there are situations where God becomes what? Violent. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffered violent, and the violent shall take it by force. So where, you know, what is important is for you to rise up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. David, Psalm 139. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I reckon maybe he was going to sing this song today. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He was going to sing. Let me start this song from afresh. Praise you, Jesus. Let's start this song. Majesty, majesty, majesty. We need to praise the Lord in the midst of our situations. We need to say, Lord, umuhle man, umhle, hallelujah, umhle, kuvuma kungavumi. You need to say that to your Father, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. You need to say that. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know what is happening with my DJ. DJ, why are you doing what you're doing? But it's fine. Let me just go to things that you need to reject. When you praise God, you need to be tuned up. Hallelujah. You need to be tuned up. Your mind and your spirit should be tuned up. I got David to Psalm 139. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine upright. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, oh Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Like there is no word in my tongue that you do not know. God knows when you want to be negative. God knows. So that is why I'll say to you today, reject laziness. Reject laziness. Let not your tongue declare things that are not glorifying God. When you praise God, you glorify him even in your declarations. Hallelujah. Reject laziness. Laziness leads to cowardice. Laziness, it will make you to quit your destiny as quickly as you anticipate. You never anticipated. So, reject laziness. God knows that word in your tongue. He knows it. Are, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You can read it in other versions. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. He knows when you move the movements, the number of your hairs. He knows. He knows. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That's what David is saying. Or should I say, yeah, that's what David, the psalmist, is saying. So reject laziness. Reject mediocrity. Mediocrity, it's you saying, you know what, Mudimu is uribitite remrate rezembona, Mudimu uri possess. Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply. You know, have dominion and subdue things. Hallelujah. So you cannot just udule mole, ube said, hori, things are not happening. You need to rise up, child of God, reject mediocrity. It will limit you. It will abort your dreams and your visions. I'm telling you, I've been saying over and over again, how not into a powerful like crying to God. You know, when you read the book of Psalm, you read the Psalm saying, in the day when I was in trouble, I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord answered, Lord, hear my prayers. Oh, Lord, deliver me. Would you feel the powerful John? Lord, I cry unto thee. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto you. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Psalm 143, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. How batumba mudim. Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. There is no voice of a person. There are times when midwives must be there to help you. There were times when Nehemiah needed the builders to encourage him. But he knew that his encouragement is from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. Gideon was also challenged. But there was a time when he knew that I can rely on Pura, but I can also rely on what? On God. Hallelujah. You need to know who God is in your life. Reject shame. It's a shame, ne? It doesn't glorify God. It says God doesn't exist. That's what shame does. Shame will tell you that. So you need to, from time to time, just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist, or I am fearfully and wonderfully made, but Aruta oring mo. Now, this is what I like. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. So, bona, omo praise, of course, what's about ladika uchwata right and left, maribona. Though you are pressed, perplexed, and tossed on every side, but you are still intact. Hallelujah, you are still intact. There is judgment that the God, the Lord that you serve will deliver. And there is vindication, justice for his children. Hallelujah. So such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from my presence? This is English at another level. Praise you, Jesus. But where can I go from your presence? Hallelujah. Where can I go from your spirit? Because you are always here. You are the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It is the spirit of the Lord in a man that gives him wisdom. You are here. I need you, Daddy. I need you. Hallelujah. So David is coming with that kind of humility and dependence. Whom are you dependent to? Whom are you dependent to? Or if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. I get the people that if you ascend, you descend, you are in facing a valley or you're facing a mountain. Are people there at all times? No. God has allowed people to be in your life at specific seasons and to be able to help you deal with certain demons. So not everything is about people. Certain things are about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today. Or if he says, so Luena, it's a fellow above all, the Lord that you serve is powerful. Above all. Hallelujah. He is there. He knows everything that you need. He knows everything that you need. Praise you, Jesus. Let me just play this song for you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Above all powers. Thank you, Jesus. Above all wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ah, Jesus. You are above all wealth and treasures of the earth. So my question is, I mean, there is no way to measure what the Lord has. The worth of the Lord cannot be measured. Thank you, Jesus. Laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. Jesus, you took the fall. Just underline that word. The thought of me, Jesus. Above all, I want you to listen to this song. May the good Lord bless you. Praise him. Work, work, work. Pray, pray, pray. Increase the levels. Hallelujah. And glory, Jesus. Above all wisdom. All your, the ways of men, all my ways and your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We are more than conquerors. Hey, thank you, Jesus. We conquer. We conquer in the mighty name of Jesus. God is above the treasures of the earth. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, crucify Jesus. Naman ketumuntu opilayo. Thank you, Jesus. Rababashaya. La korianda rabasaya. Thank you, Jesus. You took a fall and thought of me above all. So, as we close, I'll give you Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's about time that we ask God, where did I go wrong? What wrong am I doing? Why are certain things not happening? Don't look at the external parts, but also look internally. Ke ingi, ke ingi. Maybe unale pride aru eno rapela hulu. And unale pride ahore, batu babanga batse bi Jehova. Modimo o guarantee our victories there. No one can take away your victory. Praise you, Jesus. He took a fall for me and you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jersey Lair. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a net. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, the New King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things. Issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is no more, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, I am the life. But again, in John, he says, I am the bread of life. That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking. He says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it's got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, "I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again." We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, "If you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood." And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that, where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And it says you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the way we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, you also milk drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie. Because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world. And they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. My word of, or my starting of scripture today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 9 to 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'll make of thee a great nation. Obviously, we know what happened. Moses stood there in the gap, convinced the Lord, or reasoned with God, not to wipe out the nation of Israel, because he had compassion for them,
although the Lord had really had enough with the ways of the Israelites. But then when we continue further, the same Israelites that Moses advocated for ended up costing him the promised land. What am I saying? What Moses was supposed to do was, he was just supposed to obey God. He was supposed to let God do what he should do. You are supposed to not look back. Moses was just supposed to let the Lord be, let the Lord do his will. And there I know, or I guess, he would not have been promised, or he would not have been costed the promised land. Moses was supposed to not look back, because in looking back, that's what cost him the promised land. Let's read. let's read another scripture from the Word of God, which is from the book of Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. This is when Lot and his family were being rescued from the land that was condemned of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let us read this again. But his wife, which is Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Had she had not looked back, she would have not died in vain. She would have survived with her family. She would have been saved. But, hey, she looked back the same way Moses looked back, advocated for the Israelites instead of allowing the Lord to do his will and just focus on what's ahead or what God has planned for you instead of looking back. Looking back costs a lot. It could be with a friendship that has ended. I myself have personal experiences of such things. I've come to note that we sometimes get controlled by emotions or memories instead of just accepting that some things are ought to be the way they are and we're not supposed to look back. It is when we look back where we really sabotage our own destinies. We sabotage God's plan in our lives. Look at Moses in the book of Exodus. He spoke in behalf of, he advocated for the nation of Israel. But the same nation caused him his promised land. The same nation that he spoke for to the Lord or advocated for to the Lord caused him his promised land. Look at Lot's wife, who was turned into a pillar of salt just by looking back. My brothers and sisters, no matter how precious things were or how much they have costed us, or what kind of memories we may have concerning things that have passed. May I advise you, especially if it's in the Lord's will not to look back, let us not look back. There are some things, yes, we have invested a lot into emotionally, financially, or time-wise. But the thing is, we should not look back. Let the past be the past. We cannot occupy the past. We cannot be occupied by the past in our present. There's bound to be trouble when that takes place. You are going to be stagnant. And in being stagnant, you are going to cost yourself the promises of God in your life. Yes, it's true. I've come to note with my personal experiences too, those friendships that have ended. Ones I held dear to myself, when I tried to rekindle the friendship, it was worse than it was in the beginning. Because its time had expired. I had to not look back. I had to focus on what's ahead and not preoccupy myself with what has already passed. Imagine if Moses had allowed the Lord to do his will instead of looking back on how the Lord saved the nation of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Wouldn't he have had the promises of God fulfilled in his life? But the reason why the promises were not fulfilled is not because God is not faithful and just, but it is because he looked back. Moses looked back, just like Lot's wife. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. I love what my old man says, or what he said to me once when I ended a certain relationship with someone. This was around last year. He said to me, if you think you've been costed a lot, believe me when I tell you, there was more to lose than you thought that you already lost in it. No matter how much the cost is, or the loss that you have suffered, there are still more to lose. There is still more to lose when you look back. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you, may we please not look back. May we please not look back. Let's also go to another scripture, which is Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let me end it on verse 2. When the Lord tells you to leave certain things, he wants to bless you. He doesn't do it out of punishment, but it is for your best interest. He knows what he has for you. But the problem is, when you try to look back, when you try to hold on to the past, you really sabotage yourself, not really God's plans, but you sabotage yourself from witnessing God's greatness. You cannot be born again and still desire to live according to the flesh. You need to die to self. Again, don't look back. Because when you look back, you will be costed a lot. It is not worth your while to look back. Imagine that Abraham had not obeyed what the Lord has said unto him. Would he be blessed? We hear of many, 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 many descriptions of Abraham. You know, we even have songs of Abraham's blessings are mine. He's a father of nations, you know. Would he be a father of nations had he had not obeyed God, had yet looked back instead of leaving what the Lord had told him to leave and not look back? Would he be a father of many nations? Would he be as blessed as he was had he had not obeyed God? The answer to that is simple, is simply no. Imagine if Moses had allowed the Lord to do his will. Where would Moses be? Would he had not had his promise from God? But it is the problem of looking back that caused him the promise that God had for him. And which is sad. How many things have you costed yourself by looking back? How many things, my brothers and sisters, have you costed yourself by looking back? Some have even lost their lives, like Lot's wife, turning into a pillar of salt because of looking back. There's even, in the New Testament, where Lord Jesus instructed Peter to be a fisher of men, not to go back into what they were doing, being fishers of fish, but be fishers of men. But he did that after a whole lot of errors that Peter committed, after denying the Lord Jesus. And he did what the master commanded him not to do. But to his credit, though, he at least he died an honorable death for Christ. Although the key thing was, he was not supposed to go back. He was not supposed to look back on what he needs to do. But then let's go back to Moses. What about Moses? I don't think Moses was supposed to die in the way he died. His death, to me, it looks like it was in vain, you know. Being healthy. You remember what the Bible describes? He was healthy. His eyesight was very well. There's no physical defect on him. There's nothing that he lacked physically, an old man that he was, but the only thing he lacked, or one of the things he lacked, was the promise, the promised land. Brothers and sisters, believe me, it's not worth it. My old man tells me all the time that emotions are very unstable. You cannot base your decisions on emotions. Imagine if we based our decisions on emotions. How would this world be? Emotions being so unstable. emotions change like weather. Moses had compassion, I'll give him that, although not using wisdom, it cost him the promised land. Lot's wife looked back, and look, it cost her life. Abraham left his country, left his father's house, and look, the Lord indeed was with him, and he is now known as the father of many nations. The Bible describes him as a blessed man because he did not look back. He did not look back. Let us learn to trust God. Let us stop trying to figure God out and trying to be God. There is a reason why God instructs us and we need to trust him and have faith in God. And part of that is having faith. Yes, it is in having faith and not looking back. Do not look back. No matter how precious it looks, don't look back. Especially if you have been instructed by God. Do not look back. It's not worth your while. I'm talking from personal experience. There are things I hold dear to me, but they are no more because I was instructed by the Lord not to look back. I do not want to be cost my promises in God. Nothing is precious on this earth that I would really be willing to sacrifice God's promises concerning or regarding my life. Brothers and sisters, let us not look back. There are many stories of those who did not follow or the will of the Father, whose lives did not really turn out the way they were supposed to, who fell short of the glory of God. I know for certain I do not want to be amongst the people on those on that list, among the list of those people who have been costed their promises in God. No matter how precious you may think it is, don't look back, brothers and sisters. It is not worth your while. Let us trust in God. I love the word of the word of Scripture that says, "Each day has troubles of its own." Stop worrying about what you're gonna wear tomorrow, what you're gonna eat. Have you ever considered who feeds the birds of the sky? Have you ever witnessed birds stressing? No, because God takes care of them. What more? People who are made in the image and in the likeness of God. Don't look back. Do not look back. If there's one thing I know, whenever I disobeyed God and was taken by emotion, and I was taken by emotions, I regretted taking the decision of looking back. Maybe my situation is not like Lot's wife, and neither like Moses, but I regret it looking back. That now, when God tells me not to look back, I have confidence in God, which is faith, that no, he will take care of me. He always does and always will. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. More especially when I know that I am in his will and I'm doing the will of the Father. More especially if I'm doing the will of the Father. Look at the Lord Jesus. He was a carpenter for most of his adult life. When he started doing, well, he's in the will of the Father, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and doing what he came here to do, which was becoming the ultimate sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God, being crucified for our sins. Had he looked back, this world would have been in jeopardy. You remember how the wrath of God in the Old Testament used to burn against men. Even the blood of animals could not wash away our sins. We needed the blood of his Son, his one and only begotten Son, to wash away our sins. Imagine if Lord Jesus had not said, "Father, let it be your will, not mine. Let it be your will, not mine." Imagine had he had not done that, where would this world be? We would not have had salvation, neither the Holy Spirit, neither has sins been washed away. We wouldn't have. Imagine if Lord Jesus had not been selfless. He that knew no sin. Imagine if he had looked back into carpenting. That carpenting was less threatening. Carpenting was less emotionally draining than knowing that he was going to be crucified. You remember the word of scripture says, "Lord Jesus asked, may this cup pass. But Father, let it be your will and not mine." Imagine if Lord Jesus had looked back, where would we be? Brothers and sisters, not looking back is not only about us, but it's about also our neighbors. It's also for those who are parents, for children. Let us not look back. It doesn't just cost us. It costs also those who depend on us when we look back. If there's one thing I would like all of us to remember, my brothers and sisters, is may we not look back. Let us allow the Lord to be. Let His will be done. And let us not look back.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Mochana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network. And the program is Refreshing Times. And I bless the Lord that we are connected once more to share the word of God together. I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit, renew your mind through his word today. My topic for today, we're talking about how to overcome our daily challenges. So my topic says overcoming daily challenges, and I'm reading the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We are in the race, and we need to remember whenever we encounter challenges on a daily basis that we are in a race. And the word of God says we must take to run on your race. Yet you have so many things that you are carrying. you won't be able to run as fast as you are supposed to, but instead you will slow down. So because of these things that are happening in our lives, we find ourselves slowing down now and then because of the challenges. But today we are talking about how can we overcome these challenges on a daily basis. We need to remember that God is on our side. We need to remember that in everything that we come across, we are not alone. God is with us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. Deuteronomy 20. Verse 4 says that the Lord is going with us. He is fighting against our enemies and he gives us victory. And we need to remind ourselves this all the time when we encounter challenges. We encounter challenges on daily basis, but we need to come to a point where we are able to trust God for every challenge that we encounter, and we are able to overcome the challenges. God does not want us to live our lives in fear and not knowing what to do and always feeling down as if the Lord has forsaken us. But he wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. The word of God says that if we are born of God, we overcome the world. So we need to remember that whenever we encounter daily challenges, that we are born of him. And because we are born of him, we overcome the challenges that come through into our life on a daily basis. So the word of God says here, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down and let us run our race with patience. Now, running the race, we need to run the race with patience, not comparing ourselves to other people, not comparing ourselves to their pace, because if we do that, you will then realize that other people, their race might seem as if it's faster than yours, or yours is slower than theirs. So don't run your race focusing on other people, but run your race and focus on your race and run your race with patience, trusting the Lord in every to take you through every step of the way. So I'm saying today, let us focus on overcoming the daily challenges that we come across in our personal lives. Number one, we need to position ourselves. When you read Exodus 14:14 says, position yourself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord brings us salvation when we are standing still and when we are trusting him with the challenges that we come across. Most of the time when we go through challenges, we want to start first by trying to sort out things on our for ourselves, but we need to come to a point where we be still and know that he is God and allow him to fight on our behalf and allow him to intervene in our daily challenges. So we need to position ourselves and remain calm and trust the Lord in the daily challenges that we come across, so that the Lord can bring us victory. And we also need to bear in mind all the time whenever we are faced with challenges and difficult situations that the Lord will bring us victory. Yes, victory is for us, but the battle is definitely not ours. The battle is of the Lord, and we need to allow God to fight on our behalf. That's what God wants. Hence, he says in Isaiah 30, verse number 18, he says, I desire to be gracious upon you. So the Lord all the time, he desires to help us. He desires to rescue us. He desires to intervene in our daily situations and daily challenges that we encounter. We shouldn't come to a point where we tend to think that there are challenges we can hand over to him, and some of the challenges we can come up with our own solutions. But we need to allow God to intervene in our lives in all challenges, whether they are small or they are big challenges. But let us allow God to intervene. And number two, when we read the word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And we need to be prayerful on daily basis. We need to trust the prayer like our own breath. You know, We can't make it without prayer, and we need to be we need to come to a point where prayer, it is our lifestyle. It is not something that we struggle to do, meaning that we need to be prayerful whether things are going well in our lives and whether things are not going so well in our lives. But we need to trust in the power of prayer and be prayerful ourselves and depend on prayer, because prayer, it is a method, it's the only method that we can communicate with the Lord with. It's that moment where you are able to tell him about your worries, to tell him about your fears, to tell him about your frustrations. And we need to make that time where we come and we lay everything before him so that he can be able to fight on our behalf and to help us in our time of need. So prayer, we cannot do without prayer. We need to be prayerful like Paul and Silas. We remember the word of God in Acts 16:25. The word of God says that when after Paul and Silas were thrown into a cell after being beaten, instead of focusing in the pain, instead of focusing in what was going on at the time, they chose to rather pray and praise the Lord. And we need to do that on our daily basis as we encounter challenges, as we go through the valleys, as we go through difficult times. We need to trust the Lord and forget about the pains and forget about the hurts and forget about the discouragement, the disappointments that are happening around our lives. Let us focus on prayer, even if it is hard at times to pray. Just force yourself to do it. Just force yourself to do it, because you need God's intervention in everything. So let us be like Paul and Silas and learn to depend, fully depend on prayer. As they were praying and as they were praising God, the prison doors open up, and there are things that our prayers, there are things that our praise will bring, our prayers and praise will bring us victory as we depend more and more on that. It is a weapon that God has given us. Prayer, it is one of the powerful weapons that God has given to us. Praise is a powerful weapon that the Lord has given unto us, and we need to use this weapons in our daily challenges and trusting God at the same time to help us to conquer all the battles that we come across on our daily battles. So we need to communicate to God everything that is happening in our lives. We need to communicate with them whenever we're feeling down. We need to communicate with them. We need to tell him our worries, our fears. We need to speak to God about everything that is happening in our life so that God can continue to fight on our behalf, so that God can continue to help us on our journey. And we need to remain focused on him, not on the challenges that we are coming across. There are so many things that are happening. If we will allow the challenges that are happening to move our focus from the Lord, then we're going to be distracted in most of the time. But we need to come to that point where we have learned not to focus on the things that are happening, not to focus on everything that the enemy throws at us. But let us lift up our eyes to the hills. Let us lift up our eyes unto the Lord and focus on him. Even if the challenges are forcing, or they are, you are going through too much of a pressure, but you need to come to that point where you are focused on God and on him alone. And as we focus on him, I believe that God will keep on renewing our strength and giving us a way forward. And as we focus on him, he will make sure that everything of ours is going as planned. Because when we start to focus on everything that is happening around, then we forget important things like praying, like praising, like fellowshipping. We forget important things that we need to be doing. So it's very important that even when we go through daily challenges, we need to remain focused on God, remain focused on Jesus, remain focused on the relationship that you have with him. Remain focused and remind yourself that victory does not come to us. We don't bring ourselves victory, but it is God who brings us victory. And number three, and the word of God in Psalms 34, verse number 4, David is praying unto the Lord, and he says, I prayed, and he answered, and he delivered me from my fears. And I want to encourage you that as we go through the daily challenges, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we go through so much pressure and we find ourselves fearful, but I want to encourage you to fear not and remind yourself that the Lord is with you, and the Lord, he will deliver you from whatever challenge that you are going through. Yes, you might be going through financial difficulties, maybe it's family problems, maybe it's marital problems, we can name all the problems, but whatever that you are going through, have no fear. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will make a way for you. So David says here, I prayed, and he answered me, and he delivered me from my fear. So as we pray, the previous point that I've mentioned, as we pray as well, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fear, and he gives us relief as we pray and we draw nearer and closer to him. So let us not fear, but let us fix our thoughts on things which are positive. When we read Philippians 4:8, it says to us, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely and what is admirable. I know that sometimes because of challenges, we find ourselves not fixing our thoughts on the positive, but we find ourselves fixing our thoughts on the negative stuff, things that are pulling us down. But I want us to pray this and try to do this as we encounter daily challenges, to fix our thoughts on things which are true. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. So let us fix our thoughts today, even if things are not going our way, but let us encourage ourselves through the word of God and remain focused on the word of God, and be very careful of the thoughts that we allow into our minds. Let us make sure that we allow thoughts that will build us up and not destroy us. Let us allow the thoughts that will boost more of our faith rather than boosting the fear. Because the more we are fearful, the more we lose our faith. So we need to be very careful as well on that, that whenever we go through daily challenges, let us not be fearful. Let us rather pray to God to increase our faith rather than the fear. So we need to come to that point where we overcome that as well. And if you can't overcome it, let it be your prayer item that, Lord, help me to overcome my fears. Deliver me from my fears, like David did pray unto the Lord. The Lord always wants us to live in victory, not to live a defeated life. So we need to try by all means to do it in the way that God, it will please God. So let us not be fearful. Know that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he is the one who is going with us. He is the one who is fighting against our enemies, and he's the one who's bringing us victory. It is the intention of our Lord that to demonstrate his mighty power through us. So the challenges that we go through, they shouldn't make us feel like the Lord has forsaken us, or they shouldn't make us feel like we are not worth it or loved enough. But we should see it as an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate his mighty power through us and through our challenges. If we don't go through challenges, people will never come to a point where they know the mighty power of God. It is through these tough times, it is through challenges, it is through difficult times where God comes through for us and overcome on our behalf, that people see the mighty power of God. So let us allow him to allow the situation to come through our ways, so that he will be able to be glorified at the end. Number four, we need to remind ourselves on our daily challenges. We're speaking about overcoming daily challenges. So number four, let us remind ourselves that Jesus fought on the cross the battle for us, and he won all the battles for us at the cross. And he still continues every day to win the battles on our behalf. We need not to be afraid, because Christ has won all the battles on our behalf. On the cross, he won the battles. He fought the battles on our behalf, and he won them on our behalf. We are victorious today because Christ Jesus, he was nailed on the cross. Christ Jesus, he was crucified, and at that moment, he was winning the battles on our behalf. He fought against our sicknesses. Lord Jesus fought against our infirmities at the cross. He fought against the sin and death on the cross, and he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to into his kingdom. At the cross, Christ Jesus has done it all, and he still continues to fight our daily battles. So let us not be afraid or try to fight our own battles, because Jesus is fighting our battle. He wants to fight those battles on our behalf. The word of God in Colossians 2, verse number 15, says that Jesus defeated the spiritual rulers and powers. With the cross, Jesus won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So at the cross, he defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated the powers of darkness, and he won the victory on our behalf. He defeated all, and he proved to the world that everything else, it is powerless, and he is mighty. So we need to trust in the Lord as we go through these daily challenges and not try to fight on our behalf. Let us be still and know that he is God. Even if the storm can be so powerful, at times we want to do something to help, to remedy our situation, but we need to come to a point where we relax and we just allow him to fight on our behalf, because I want to remind you that the battles, they are not ours, but the battles are of the Lord. So we don't need to fight in our daily battles, but we need to allow our Lord to fight on our behalf. Change number five, let us change the way we approach our daily challenges and start approaching our daily challenges in the spirit. Most of the time, whenever we go through challenges, we want to approach people, we want to fight people, we want to pray against the people who are against us. But the word of God, when we read Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says to us, verse number 12, that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are wasting our time trying to fight against human beings, because our battle, it is not flesh and blood. We need to train ourselves on that. We need to fight our battles in a right way. We need, the word of God says in 11 that we need to put on all of God's armor, so that we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we find ourselves trying to fight people using the wrong armors. Our armors are not carnal. The word of God says our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons, we use spiritual weapons to fight our daily battles. And we need to be to remind ourselves now and then that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against evil rulers. We are fighting authorities. We are fighting against mighty powers in this dark world. And if we can get that, we will realize that if we are fighting against such, then we need God in our battles on daily basis to fight on our behalf. And we need to use the correct weapons for our battles, because now when we fight, we are fighting using carnal weapons, and with the hands, we are losing so many battles in our daily life. But we need to come to that point where we realize that without him, we can't be victorious. We are victorious because he is with us. He is going before us, and he's the one who's fighting our enemies. He knows how to approach our enemies. He knows how to fight our enemies, and we don't know because we don't understand what we are fighting up against. So the battle is not ours. We need to remember that. The battle is not ours. The battle is of the Lord. What we need to do is to put on God's armor so that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Number six, when you're facing your daily when you're facing daily opposition as well, remember that the Word of God says we are not using the weapons which are carnal, but we are using the spiritual weapon. So as we fight in our daily battles, we need as well to come to a point where we stand against everything that is opposing the truth of God in our life. What is the truth that I'm speaking about? I'm speaking about the Word of God. Everything else that is speaking and it's opposing what God has spoken all over your life, we need to come to that point of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says we demolish arguments. We need to wake up every morning during the day, just before we sleep, we need to come to that point where we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let everything obey Jesus Christ, and we need to do that on our daily basis to demolish all the arguments, everything that is opposing the Word of God in our lives, everything that is standing against the Word of God in our lives. We need to come against that. And that the last one, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because when we put our trust in the Lord, He will never put us to shame. He will never put us into confusion. So every day we need to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord on a daily basis. We trust on His abilities. We trust that He is able to make way for us. We trust that He will fight all the battles for us. And we just need to trust God completely and doubt Him and have no doubt that God, and believe that God in every situation, He'll come through for us and He will fight on our behalf. So let us trust in the Lord and put our trust in Him, and be rest assured that if we put our trust in Him, He will never put us into confusion. Yes, the realities of this life and the facts of this life might make us to be a little bit doubtful, but we need to overcome that and pray about it, that the Lord will help us not to focus too much on the realities or to entertain the realities of life, but let us rather trust and believe in the Lord and His word and His promises, because they are true and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We give You the praises and we give You the glory and honor. We pray that You will help us to overcome our daily battles. Father Lord, I pray and I'm confident that You who has begun a good work in us, You will carry us until its completion, Father. We thank You. We give You the praises. Continue to fight on our behalf. I pray for strength for each and every person who's faced with battles in their lives. Father, we pray that You help them, mighty God, and help them to overcome and to win in their daily fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank You. We give You all glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank You. Until next time, God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.